Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Time is 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's game of words, deduction, and precise critical evaluation.
Arnold, I cannot believe it, but they actually think that a...
Let's not put it that we really think this.
Okay.
The next hour can be a fearsome time of intellectual combat, especially if you can share it with that certain someone.
What does that say about dating?
I'll go out with anybody but the right person, you know?
We promise moments of insight and discovery, mixed liberally with moments of complete chaos.
How about a baton?
No, it wasn't that either.
With little spurs on.
Well, stop it already.
A whip. I like it.
This
whip.
Is what happens when yes. People from the East stay up past 9:30.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All on Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The political landscape in Europe could be in for a change today. Voters in France and Greece are going to the polls amid anger over the austerity measures aimed at reining in Europe's debt crisis. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports that economic concerns are one reason why far-right nationalist parties are expected to play an increasingly influential role in European politics.
Populist far-right parties are capitalizing on voters' economic and social fears. In France, far-right National Front leader Marine Le Pen played up fears over Muslim immigration to take third place in the first round of presidential voting. Today, her supporters will have an influential voice in the runoff between President Nicolas Sarkozy and socialist candidate François Hollande. In Greece, the Golden Dawn Party, once a pariah, has capitalized on fears over immigration and austerity and may get a dozen or so seats in the Greek parliament. Nationalist parties have also made significant inroads recently in the Netherlands, the Nordic countries, and Hungary. The Council of Europe's Commission Against Racism warned about a rise of intolerance of immigrants and minority groups due to scarce job opportunities and welfare cuts. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Thousands of protesters marching in Moscow on the eve of Vladimir Putin's return to the Russian presidency. Organizers called for today's protests, hoping to reinvigorate the demonstrations of a few months ago that seemed to lose steam after Putin easily won back the president's post. Jessica Gallagher is in Moscow.
What people are telling me is that they're still unhappy, but they're sort of resigned to the fact that, well, he's being inaugurated tomorrow. What are we supposed to do? And you also have to remember the fact that they tried their own revolution in the 90s, and a lot of them say, look what we got. So most of the people, I think, are frustrated. Still hopeful, yet frustrated, because tomorrow Putin is taking the helm. So I guess it's a wait and see.
Jessica Gallagher reporting from Moscow. In Afghanistan, NATO is investigating an attack today that left one international service member dead. NATO says the attacker was wearing an Afghan army uniform when he opened fire. It's the latest in a string of such attacks. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in India, where she's encouraging the country to cut back on Iranian oil imports. NPR's Michelle Kellerman has been traveling with the secretary on her swing through Asia.
India could face U.S. sanctions if it doesn't wean itself from Iranian oil, and the Obama administration has until June to decide whether or not India can avoid financial punishments. A U.S. official traveling with the secretary says India is making progress and says Clinton will be encouraging that. It's all part of U.S. efforts to pressure Iran to curtail its nuclear ambitions. U.S.-Indian trade is also high on her agenda here. She began her trip with a visit to Calcutta to discuss business opportunities for U.S. companies and meet with the new chief minister, Mamata Banerjee, who was recently named by Time magazine one of the 100 most influential people in the world. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Calcutta, India.
This is NPR News. More fighting is being reported in Syria today, but despite continued violence there, UN officials say the deployment of more observers should gradually calm things down. Small groups of observers are in four cities considered to be the main flashpoints, and spokesman Niraj Singh says the observers are in some new villages outside Damascus.
Our mission here is focused on ensuring that there is full and sustained cessation of violence in all its forms by all the parties. We are also in the process observing and reporting what we see on the ground.
The UN mission in Syria now says the number of observers up to 70, with a contingent set to reach 300 by the end of May. Meanwhile, exiled opposition leaders are urging voters to boycott tomorrow's parliamentary election. Data released by the Labor Department last week shows only modest growth in the job market. The national unemployment rate dropped slightly to 8.1%, but analysts say that was due in large part to many Americans simply giving up their search for work. And as NPR's Tom Dreisbach reports, the unemployment rate remains higher for one group of Americans.
9.2%. According to the Labor Department, that's the unemployment rate for American veterans who have served since September 11, 2001. The rate for these veterans is higher than the national unemployment rate, and it has generally been higher throughout the economic downturn. Compared with last month, the data show a 1.1% drop in unemployment, but the rate often varies greatly from month to month. The longer-term trend indicates a slow improvement in employment for these veterans, a group of about 2.5 million service members. Tom Dreisbach, NPR News, Washington.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Vital Projects Fund, supporting the Museum of Modern Art, now presenting the retrospective Cindy Sherman. More at MoMA.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in San Francisco comes from the good folks at KQED-FM and the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins Hotel, historic elegance in the heart of San Francisco, on the web at intercontinental.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage of the Kenbar Theater at the Jewish Community Center in San Francisco, California, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Never have I seen his like, never will there be another like Tony Khan. Never thought I'd see the day she's brought an entourage, Francine Akbar. And never, and I speak from experience here, never drink anything concocted by this man and described as an experiment. Mr. Barry Nolan. That one goes back almost 30 years. Who's the captain over there?
I'll take the captain. And may I say that I think it was a mistake for the center to provide these large pitchers of vodka.
Barry will be the captain. To my left, team two, she's ecstatic, delighted, she's happy as Larry, Miss Paula Lyons. She's pumped, she's primed, she'll turn your hair curly, yep. Carolyn Faye Fox. And... get where we're going here?
Yeah.
He's loose, he's limber, but better in slow-mo, Mr. Arnie Raisman. Yeah. And who's the leader?
Hello. Larry's hello. Lookalike hello. Or something, I don't
Paula.
Know.
Paula will captain. Hello.
Paula will captain. Pick correct two. Answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. For 5 points, define, and for an additional 5, try to define the origin of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, rabbit punch. Huh.
Rabbit punch?
Yes.
Rabbit punch.
It's a festive party drink.
Right. That's right. After three of them, you're getting to be a rabbit with me.
And you, next morning, you drink hair of the rabbit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
It is a punch.
It's a punch.
Oh, it's a punch. All right.
How is it different from a sucker punch?
Because rabbits are so fierce.
It's a sudden and unexpected punch,
usually in a place you're not expecting to get hit in.
Yes, well, that's for sure. And that place is kind of important. It's right behind the ear.
Right behind the ear.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Is that where the kidney is? Where does it come from?
Yeah.
I thought it was in the kidney.
Where does it come from?
Well, I mean, maybe it just has to do with the ears, the whole ear thing.
Well, not really. No, that's why it's called. I think part
of
why
you stun a rabbit in the same way when you want to capture him and eat him for dinner. You slap him behind the ears.
Yeah.
You know what? Close enough. Yeah, 10 points.
All right.
Get this.
Thank you, Paula. Yeah.
It's a blow right behind the ear.
Right.
Poachers stealing still live rabbits from traps would dispose of the animals with a rabbit punch to the back of the neck. And that's how they got it.
Oh.
Kind of bad, huh?
So definition how many points do we get?
10 points. You get the bell.
Okay. Thank you.
Tony, try this one. Definition and derivation of shindig.
Well, shindig is a party with a lot of music and physical movement.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Whoop-de-doo for the community at large.
Yeah. Yes.
And probably because some of the steps involve basically ramming the heel into the floor. It was like a stomping kind of dance.
No, that's not it. It's different than that. Anyone want to give him a hand over here?
Does it have to do with the shin part of the leg?
Yes, it does.
And it took some abuse.
Yes, it did.
Because the person in front of you tended to kick their heels up, and that would tend to smash into the person following them in the shin.
I don't think it was quite that accidental, actually.
And it was purposeful.
It was.
To see who would be the last one standing.
You know, I know how to put an end to this. There, 10 points. We're done here. Anyone want to give it a shot on the other side? Anyone want to...
Did it deliberately start out as a dance?
Ended up as a brawl.
It was a brawl.
It ended up as a brawl is right. It is literally a kick to the shin, okay? A 19th century pointed boot maneuver which usually initiated the bar fight, and it came to mean the type of party where this might occur. Well, try this one then, Arnie. Hijinks.
Hijinks.
Definition and derivation.
Hijinks.
Hijinks.
Hijinks. Well, it's chicanery, trickery,
tomfoolery. But in good fun.
Yeah,
high-spirited.
I guess it is.
Yes.
Yeah, high-spirited.
That's 5 points.
Okay. Where does it come from? Jinx.
Well, I mean, it's not... By the usual meaning of jinx, and you jinx the evening.
Is this an English word?
Spell on it or something.
No, yes, it is an English word. I'm sorry. Yes, it is an English word.
Does it have to do with captivity or prison?
No, nothing.
And it doesn't have to do with high or low, or does it?
Because
it's not spelled.
Actually, a lot of derivations come from this kind of source, and I thought you might
have... Shakespeare.
No, not
well. That's not
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible, Shakespeare.
The Bible, Shakespeare.
Hygiene.
Scottish. No,
Scottish.
Dutch. Sailing term.
Parliament or Fleet Street or.
These are all good. I'm going to give you 5 points for the definition, and I'm going to give you another point for the guesses, which are pretty good.
Criminal world.
I'm sorry.
The underworld.
Not the underworld. Does anyone over here want to take a shot?
Does it have to do with card play?
Boy, you're getting close. You're getting very close there.
Mysticism? Gambling.
Hijinks comes actually from high pranks, a game of dice and charades. Dice and charades. You roll
underwater?
The dice.
In the same game?
Yes, dice and charades.
Sounds like
four.
High pranks. Somehow pranks became jinks.
Yes. Pranks became jinks because oft hilarity ensued. I don't know, but this is... This is where it comes from.
Followed by a bear.
That's right. It's a game of dice and charades, and we're going to leave it at that. Okay?
Dice and charades.
Francine, try this one. Definition and derivation of martinet.
Oh.
Now you say.
A martinet is a strong enforcer of rules.
But it's also has a shrill quality.
Yes, it's a strict and tedious stickler for details.
And it comes from the bird?
Why would it come from the... Are they sticklers for details? Those...
Oh, they have no sense of humor.
I suppose you've never traveled with a purple mark.
I never
I do not know the origin.
Well, give it a shot this side. See if it can help.
Martinet.
It comes from being very particular. Originally, it was used in reference to dry cleaning. Martinizing.
Martinizing?
Yeah.
Right.
Simonized and Martinized?
Yes.
That's where you were required to stay in the clothes while they did it.
Yes.
Well, it might be.
Does it have anything to do with the military?
It absolutely does.
Okay.
Does
what? So, some kind of maybe the position, it was a rank of some kind.
It was not a rank.
Okay. It was.
A musical instrument.
No.
It was a uniform.
No.
It was a stick.
It was not.
A really long, mean stick.
It was none of those things.
It's a chewing gum.
It's not a chewing gum either.
Not a
no
clue,
idea.
Richard.
Martinet, French. It's a small Martin.
It's a small Martin. Yes. Audience, where does it come
it's
from?
It's a list of regulations.
That's exactly right.
I said
Army it's
officer.
Not from the
I
audience.
I said a rank. It had to do with a rank.
It's not a what, it's a who.
It's a who.
It's Colonel Jean Martinet, or Martinet, I guess it would be, whose reorganization of the 17th century French armed forces was incredibly complicated and rigid. In 1672, he was killed by his own troops.
There you go.
Accidentally.
You should.
Accidentally.
You should remember this.
Yes, take heed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's getting through to me now. I tell you that. What do I give them? I'll give them 6 points. They got the definition for five, and I'll give them a point because that'll help us move along.
Yeah, sure.
Try this one, and you'll love this one, Paula. Definition and derivation of to play the field.
To play Ooh. The field.
Well, I was doing a lot of that before I met Arnie, and it was working. To play the field means to make yourself available for dating and saying yes a lot to dating.
Yes.
And getting out and about socially. Like
that is 5
say.
Points.
So I have it probably comes from athletics of some sort, of which I know absolutely nothing.
In a way, but you know, I don't want to steer you wrong here. It's not actually.
It doesn't come from baseball.
It does not.
So. Are we
or
talking,
football, it would
are we
seem
talking
like.
Agriculture?
No, we are not.
Well, what else? If it's not from agriculture or some
athlete.
Field sport, what the heck is it? From a track meet?
That's well, the question.
You're getting a little you're getting
it's
a little
a track
closer.
Meet. It's what do you mean? It's like doing the
track and
decathlon.
Field. You
you're
know,
doing,
you do all of the
all
different
sorts,
events.
You're playing every
hurdles.
Event?
It's
no. It's hurdles. Yeah.
I think the other side knows.
Lacrosse.
No. Oh, you're getting a. Yeah, you're
getting
you're
far
starting
afield.
To drift off
yeah.
here.
Far afield.
But, all right, let's go back to track and field events. Does that have anything to do
no,
with
it? Does
no,
it doesn't. I'm going to give you 5 points for the definition, another point for the guesses.
All right.
Anybody over here want to take a shot?
Gambling.
It's exactly
gambling.
Right. Can you
oh,
get? Can you be any more specific?
For instance, in things like in dice, somebody's going to try and get the point, and you can play the field, which you bet on everything but the point.
Now, that's uh-huh. It's very interesting because right. that's a later derivation which people often oh. cite, but this goes back to 19th century English horse racing.
Oh, it's well, a you're betting on more than one. You're
yeah,
betting.
It's a betting technique involving wagering on every yeah. horse in the race except
oh.
the favorite. It's oh. called playing the field,
oh.
and that's where it comes from. So 6 points, and we got an ooh.
What does that say about dating?
Which is what we live for.
I'll go out with anybody but the right person, you know?
No, it says talk to Mr. Ed.
How I behave.
Talk to Mr. Ed. Talk to the hand.
And finally, Barry, try this one. Definition and derivation of barn burner.
Oh. A barn burner is a game or an event that is very exciting and the outcome is not known until the very end.
5 points. Very good.
The derivation of that, in the 19th century...
Let's always to the 19th century.
He's right. Leave him alone.
Before they invented sporting equipment...
Yes.
A barn burner was where an intense event happened inside a barn and often lanterns were knocked over.
Not even remotely close.
Okay.
What kind of contest do you think this might have arisen from?
In barns?
Well, yeah, what kind
I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, not in barns so much, but what kind of contest would 19th century...
Involving horses.
No, not really.
Cockfighting.
No, nothing even close.
Okay.
Torch fights.
Torch fights. You know, I was going to give him the extra point, but now I'm wavering.
The Olympic torch. Yeah.
All right, I'll give you 5 points for the definition, obviously. A tightly fought contest close to the end. And I'm going to give you an extra point just to be fair to both teams. Anybody over there want to take a shot?
Dueling arsonists.
Dueling arsonists. What? It's a banjo riff, isn't it?
The only thing that comes to mind was the capture and killing of John Wilkes Booth. But
That's actually a wonderful guess, Arnie. That's not true.
They had to burn the barn down.
If I told you it's from 1840s New York, would that help you at all?
Tammany Hall?
So,
yeah, it certainly has to do with politics.
Politics.
Does anyone in the audience want to take a shot? From 1840s New York politics... Where it got so nasty that political reformers attacked entrenched interests by threatening that they'd burn down the barn to get rid of the rats.
Wow.
And that's where that expression came from, that they were willing to burn down the barn just to get rid of the rats. So, 6 points for you, and nice job, guys. Tough round.
Wow. Yeah.
Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Hot Frittatas. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points up for grabs to Barry if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word farb.
Farb.
What?
F-A-R-B. Farb.
Are you going to keep them folks down on the farb?
Farby.
Hi, this is Richard. I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fun with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's tapings will be up soon on the website at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you just follow that join the fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So whether you're in Nashville or New England, north or south, we hope you'll be able to come be in our audience next season for a live performance of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Facebook goes public, the world's largest social network readies its IPO. Do you want in? Plus, hazing on college campuses, homicide by hazing at Florida A&M. What's going on? That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
Support for Says You on WPLN comes from the WPLN Nashville Public Radio Producers Circle, whose generous members, including Sue and Eric Broder and Brian Trotter, believe in the lasting value of public radio. It's 24 minutes after 9, 75 degrees in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. That is the Hot Frittatas. That is Dennis Hadley on the accordion, Don Coffin on the guitar, Gus Gerelick on mandolin and fiddle, and Gail Sharpstein on the cello. Thanks, guys. This gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers. That's Lauren Trujillo on the right and McKenna Barshak on the left. Thanks very much, guys, for keeping the score. We've had a few moments with the word FARB. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
FARB. Far be it from me now.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
FARB is that part of the sewing machine that holds the bobbin.
Nah.
The FARB.
Nah.
The FARB holds the bobbin.
That's correct.
Could be that. What be. Say you, Arnie?
Or the opposite of NIRB. It's the Federal Arms... No, I wouldn't say. It's slang, and it's a unit of measure used to determine the length of a cow path.
Oh. A cow what?
A cow path.
Path.
Length. Unit of measure. Length of a cow path.
That's an animal farb.
That's an animal. Or how are you going to keep them down on the farb?
Length of it. And this is determined by, as determined by the cow, or is determined by the
cow? That's a good question, actually. Yeah.
That's right. It's how long the path is as the cow flies.
Yeah. Just keep rolling the cow over.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like cow farbing. There's tipping and farbing, right?
Yeah. Are we all done now, or
no,
do we want to go on?
Nowhere near it, Richard.
Yeah. That's a unit of measurement, the length of a cow path. That could be a farb, or it could be something else. Paula, what do you say?
Well, it's a short word for a long answer. A farb, you know when you're at the movies, and it's, like, say, the story of Helen of Troy, and you can plainly see on the lead character's arm signs of a smallpox vaccination. You know, who's ever was... You know, or you see a glimpse of a plane flying over Moses as he's walking down with the Ten Commandments. Who's ever responsible for that is a farb. Because they've created an anachronism.
And what is it? What is the real definition from which you are confabulating this amazing constellation of consonants?
A farb is an anachronist, I guess, if there is such
what?
A word.
Oh, it's
an
the
anachronist.
A guy,
anachronist. The person who screwed up.
The person who screwed up on a movie set and says, you know.
That's right.
Okay.
Or you know that old.
So there are probably many words for that.
Oh, I know. The radio tower in Gone with the Wind. When Atlanta is burning to the ground, there's a radio tower in the back blinking. The FARB missed that one.
So that was one of the directors who got fired, I guess. There were so many on that.
Yeah. That could be what a FARB is, that historical inaccuracy. It could be a measurement, the length of a cow path, or, you know, that thing that holds the bobbin is sounding a lot better now.
It is.
Than it did before.
It is.
It's one of those three, and the choice, Barry, is yours.
You should know this, Tony. There was they measured the...
Smoots.
Yes, they measured the Boston University Bridge.
Do you know?
Yes.
It's no, right. It's not the Boston University.
The MIT.
No, MIT.
Oh,
MIT.
The MIT Bridge.
MIT Bridge.
Does someone in the audience know about Smoots?
Yeah.
MIT people.
MIT people. It's the bridge that goes from MIT into Boston. Mr. Smoot.
Do you know what Mr. Smoot did for a living?
No.
He worked for the U.S. Department of Units and Measures.
No.
Yes, he did. Weights and Measure.
Oh, you mean after they rolled him down the bridge?
After, well, for many, many years.
He had an impression.
It was his calling, right?
It was his calling.
Wow.
That's what he did.
Well, I too went to Smoot when I got the cow path measurement.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Why would you measure a cow path? I mean, I don't understand. I can see the height of a cow path, you know, because you don't want, you know, you want to make sure the cows can get through.
So, as Richard said, the sewing machine, Bob Munholder's looking better, isn't it?
Could I just ask Paula?
I scoffed at first.
Did you say the Farb is he who anachronizes?
Yeah.
Now, why would that be? A person does not intentionally even hire to anachronize something, right?
No.
I think we're going too deep in the weeds here. Let's just go with sewing machine bobbin holder.
Okie dokie.
If you want to guess something else.
No, just that as soon as you said that, the phrase length of a cow path began to blaze on my sheet of paper. It was such a spiritual thing, I can't explain it. Okay.
All right.
Sign a character.
It's blazing at me, too.
Yeah. Cowpath?
I don't
know. Cowpath, really?
I took sewing.
Cowpath?
When I was young, you had sewing in seventh grade, and you have to screw around with this stupid bobbin.
Okay.
No one ever said Farb.
Right, okay.
Nobody ever said Farb to me on a cowpath. Where's that put us? But all right, I'll go with that. Let's go with Arnie's. We'll go that it's slang for the length of a cowpath.
Arnold, I cannot believe it, but they actually think that a Farb is a measurement.
A unit. Let's not put it that way.
Okay.
Let's not put it that we really think this.
Okay. They think it is the length, the measurement used to measure the, I don't even know what. It has something to do with a cowpath.
I said a unit of measure used to determine the length of a cowpath.
And?
And I made it up.
That's what I thought, yes. Ben Ford.
So there.
Yes. All right, audience, you got a 50-50 shot. How many think the bobbin holder? How many think the guy, the anachronist? Well, Paula, I think the anachronist wins out. Is that in fact what a Farb is?
Farb, a careless anachronist. For example, an historical reenactor wearing a watch.
That's what it is. 10 points for Paula's
name. Who ever heard of such a thing? It's got to be a government job, you know.
The fact that that card says careless anachronist means there's an uncareless anachronist.
A professional.
I meant to have the watch on that, you know.
But, you know, this business Moses. About you never heard of something called. When have we ever heard any of these words used in common
terms?
That's
true.
The point, Farb. I mean, is there a union of Farbs? I mean, you need a card?
Hey, the United Farb Workers.
Okay, Richard.
This audience is so desperate to applaud something that they actually applauded that.
Great.
I'm stunned.
Okay.
Let's go on to round three.
Only three?
I'm going to give you directions to a famous world tourist destination in three steps. The faster you can tell me where we're going, the faster we'll get there.
Oh, good.
From the time before when we tried this, here's an example, about 2 hours west of the Badlands.
Mount Rushmore.
That's right, just northeast of Custer and in the Black Hills. You'll get
Turn left at that dead man.
Turn left at that. All right, try this one. Let's see if we can find out what tourist attraction we're going to see. Carolyn, past the Island of Dogs. Upriver from the quarterdeck.
The Island of Dogs.
The Island of Dogs.
Upriver from the quarterdeck?
Now, the quarterdeck is a restaurant, right?
The Island of Dogs is actually the Canaries.
No, it's not. That's.
But you're not. No? That's not what you mean. Okay.
Past the Island of Dogs, upriver from the quarterdeck.
Is it in the United States?
It is not.
All right, let's say it's the Abbey Theater.
It is not the Abbey Theater.
Next.
Okay? You're past the Island of Dogs upriver from the quarterdeck and across the bridge from Waterloo.
Oh.
Across the bridge from Waterloo. Arnie.
Buckingham Palace?
It is not Buckingham Palace. That's a good guess, though.
Windsor Castle.
What's Christopher Wren's place?
St. Paul's.
St. Paul's?
No, it is not.
House of Lords?
You're certainly close
Big
by.
Ben.
Big Ben is exactly right. Good job, Arnie.
Island of Dogs.
That's, that's 7 points.
Wow.
And you didn't need Down Birdcage Walk to Bridge Street, almost to the Thames. You didn't need that. Big Ben is the attraction we were looking for. Try this one, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Right near where 30 degrees latitude crosses 30 degrees longitude.
That's the men's room.
At Fenway Park.
At the Denny's in Sausalito.
I'm half tempted to ring the bell. I really am. No.
So, a lot of tourists go there.
It's actually significant in a way.
Okay.
So right where 30 degrees latitude crosses 30 degrees longitude.
Well, where would that be? I just don't know my latitudes and longitudes like I should.
Oh, this is the trade winds.
No, good guess.
The other things.
Yes,
the,
right.
The
Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, a great guess. No, it is not the Bermuda Triangle. To
not
right
exactly
where 30 degrees latitude crosses 30 degrees longitude, at just above Memphis on the river.
Oh.
Of the Nile.
What tourist
Cairo.
Destination?
Pyramids.
The pyramids.
Yes. Is exactly right. 7 points. Yeah. And you didn't need inland from where the Nile splits in Giza. So you did not need that.
Giza.
7 points for the pyramids. Try this one, Arnie. Upriver from Grand and Ablon.
From
below LeMay.
From what?
Grand, G-R-O-N, and Ablon, A-B-L-O-N, below LeMay.
Spelled?
L-I-M-A-Y.
Wow.
Is it a cemetery?
It is not a cemetery. Good guess, though. Okay. I know where you were going with that.
Yeah, don't know that one.
Eiffel Tower?
No, I don't think they're going to get it.
No.
To upriver from Grand and Ablon below LeMay at just east of the Esplanade de Trocadero.
Where's the Trocadero? Okay.
The head is in the hands, ladies and gentlemen.
Not Notre Dame.
Oh, you're closing in on it.
Shark?
No.
No.
Versailles?
It is not.
Mm.
And to just east of the Esplanade de Trocadero ad in the Parc du Champ de Mars near L'École Militaire.
The Louvre.
Not the Louvre. You're in the right ball.
The Jeu de Pont.
Tony has it.
The Rodin Museum. The Impressionist Museum. What?
No, I can't believe that.
Ile de la Cité.
Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower,
I
of
said
course.
That before.
She said that
earlier. I'm so sorry. You said the Eiffel Tower?
Said
but
that
I wasn't loud.
You
but I did
loud.
Say
she
Eiffel
did say
Tower.
Eiffel Tower
oh,
the,
well.
When you said Trocadero. But.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Is that true, audience? I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
7 points. Very good.
Okay.
I apologize. I did not hear that. Try this one, Francine. Starting just west of Rainbow City, running northwest to southeast.
Rainbow City?
Ooh, this is a tough category.
Running which way?
Northwest to southeast, which will be significant later on.
I'm afraid I will require another clue.
All right, to starting just west of Rainbow City, running northwest to southeast, add through the lake east of Trinidad Bay. Just south of Portobello.
Oh.
It's a mushroom.
Trinidad Bay.
Is this a canal and lock system? This is the Erie Canal?
Oh, no.
Panama
the
Canal.
Panama Canal is exactly
Panama
right.
Canal.
7 points.
Wow.
Very good. You didn't need ending at the Pacific below Balboa Heights.
Oh.
You didn't need that one. All right, and these last two are tough, but grit your teeth, Paula, see if you can get it. In the waters east of the Great Artesian Basin and the Great Dividing Range.
Of the Great Artesian Basin and the Dividing Range?
Yes.
Oh, the original Krispy Kreme.
Maybe, actually.
This is in Yellowstone.
It is not.
Okay.
To in the waters east of the Great Artesian Bay and the Great Dividing Range, add in the area between Bramble Cay and Lady Elliot Island.
Ooh.
Lady Elliot Island.
Is it pronounced Key, C-A-Y?
C-A-Y, Key. Yeah.
But is it Bramhall? Key. What are you saying?
In the area between Bramble Key, C-A-Y, and Lady Elliot Island.
Okay.
There are so many places in the world.
Yeah.
There are, aren't there? I told you, these last two are hard.
The Galapagos.
That's an excellent guess.
Great guess.
Sorry to say, not correct.
The Great Artesian Basin,
yep.
Right?
And
Great Barrier Reef.
That Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, excellent.
That's exactly right. You didn't need in the waters off Queensland and the Coral Sea. You did not need that. And finally, Barry, try this one. About an hour north of South Park, not far from Craters of the Moon.
Oh.
Ooh.
About an hour north of South Park, say.
Not far from the Craters of the Moon.
Oh, it's where the Simpsons live.
The craters, that sounds like a place that's in a park that's in the northern section. This is Yosemite?
It is not. Okay. To an hour north of South Park, not far from the Craters of the Moon, add on Grand Loop Road, just above Shoshone Lake, across from the lodge.
This is Old Faithful?
It is Old Faithful. 7 points. Yeah. Very good. Nice job. You didn't need on the Continental Divide in Yellowstone National Park. Nice job, you guys. Nice on that category. And let's go on to round four, which is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to create a definition for the word gaberlunzie.
Ooh, what?
G-A-B-E-R-L-U-N-Z-I-E, gaberlunzie.
Gaberlunzie.
Folks?
When is Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, Lena Dunham, creator of the controversial and critically acclaimed HBO series Girls, about a group of 20-something women in New York City. Dunham plays Hannah, who has a sense of entitlement and is caught between childhood and adulthood.
She has to earn the admiration of the viewer in some way, and, you know, it's up for debate whether she ever does that.
Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. Coming up in about 17 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360. At 11 o'clock, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now the time is 9:43. It's 78 degrees in Nashville.
That's the Hot Frittatas. Thank you, guys. We've had a few moments with the word gaberlunzie. We'll go first to Tony Khan.
Das gaberlunzie.
Das gaberlunzie.
Das, it's a little strip of felt that lets you know whether you're lederhosen or on backwards.
Apparently not.
Which you would need.
I've been meaning to tell you, Richard. Every time you show up with the umpapa thing, you know. Papa Richard, das Gabelunzi ist upgestupst. No, no, it's really not.
99999.
A Gaberlunzi is a drifter.
A what?
A ne'er-do-well, a drifter.
Oh, a drifter.
A drifter.
A drifter.
A Gaberlunzi.
I'm so disappointed, actually. I'm terribly disappointed. A drifter. A little piece of Velcro. Is it Gaberlunzi? It could be that. Or it could be something else, Francine.
Actually.
This will be a lot shorter on the radio. Yes. Okay.
The edit will indicate that nothing happened at all.
Right.
Gaberlunzi is ground sturgeon bladder.
You're on my team, and I don't believe you.
Used in winemaking.
Used in winemaking. Winemaking. That's spelled W-H-I-N-E.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what that drink needs is more sturgeon bladder.
Yeah. Yeah. Look it up Napa, on Wikipedia.
Is this from some grapeless culture?
No, I've been studying this.
Yeah.
It's used to, it is actually used to eliminate unpleasant undertones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing more? Takes away the taste of grape like sturgeon bladder.
And I mean nothing.
I'm just going to move on now. I'm just going to move on. Would you please, Barry, come up with something logical for Gaberlunzi?
Gaberlunzi is a drink given to nervous brides.
Yes, it is. Right.
I guess it's San Francisco, so it's you may recall from the Henry Miller's Tropic of Cancer, the narrator talks about how he looked up and all she was wearing was her Gaberlunzi.
Gee, I didn't notice that one. Yeah.
Those are three of the worst definitions I think I've ever heard. It is either a drink given to nervous brides, ground sturgeon bladder, and that's as far as I'm going to go there, or a drifter on no account. It's one of those three, and the choice, Paula, unfortunately, is yours.
Can you just pick the one you like?
Well, boy, does that drifter look good.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm thinking about that ground sturgeon bladder.
Come on, well.
Why, it's so outrageous it would be... why would you use ground sturgeon
bladder
in winemaking? I guess
to
if you're an Eskimo...
It. To clarify it.
Well, you might use the whole bladder, but do you think you'd grind it up? You could use the bladder like a strainer, maybe, but... Get those.
What's the point of grinding?
I don't believe I'm hearing this conversation.
Now.
Fine, go with the drifter.
Mackerel
all right,
bladder,
we'll go with the drifter, the no account. It sounds sane, sort of.
Funny how that happens.
Tony, they have decided to go with, in the face of ground sturgeon bladder and a drink given to nervous brides, they've chosen the drifter. I can't believe it, but that's what they chose. Is that, in fact, what Gaberlunzi means?
My teammates have painted me into a corner here. Gaberlunzi is a drifter.
Yay!
An itinerant, a vagrant,
And we don't know why.
10 points for Paula's team.
Strained sturgeon bladder.
It is. It is used in processing wine, but it isn't called Gaberlunzie.
No.
Look it up.
Really?
Let's go. Let's close tonight. Yeah. A California round of Says Who.
Oh.
Taking note of the clues included, please tell me who may have offered the following phrasing. Carolyn, this legend of American wit thought he had it right when he opined, when the Okies left Oklahoma and moved to California, it raised the IQ of both states.
Ooh, would that be H.L. Mencken?
It would not be H.L. Mencken.
Ooh, too
Mark
bad.
Mark Twain?
Mark Twain?
No.
No.
No,
it wouldn't no.
Be a,
that, okay.
That wouldn't be a Twain.
He was dead
thing.
By then.
What, say the, dead
when
by
the Okies left Oklahoma and moved to California, it raised the IQ of both states.
And this is a wit.
Yes.
Oh,
legend
would it
of
be,
American
oh,
wit.
Oh, Dorothy Parker.
No. Oh, my goodness.
You know, with the cowboy hat.
You know, with the cowboy hat.
The cowboy.
Will Rogers?
Rogers.
Will Rogers.
Will Rogers.
Will Rogers is exactly right. What was
yeah.
that? A.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
That's my memory.
That was about a fifth guess, so 5 points?
Five points.
Try this one, Tony. This acerbic artiste spoke to millions when he said, California's a fine place to live if you happen to be an orange.
That's either S.J. Perlman or Groucho Marx.
It is neither of those two.
Then it's their love child, Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah. This is
I've heard that attributed to S.J. Perlman.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I got it from somebody else.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's his name?
Yes.
Oh, that guy.
The playwright.
Neil Simon?
No. Forget it.
This acerbic artiste spoke to millions when he said, California is a fine place to live if you happen to be an orange.
W.C. Fields?
It is not. Unfortunately, I think the other side might have an idea.
Is this Fred Allen?
It's Fred Allen.
Yeah,
Fred Allen. Very good, Arnie. Since you were good with that one, try this one.
Okay.
He summed up his early days in stand-up, you haven't lived until you've died in California.
His early days in stand-up.
Yeah.
Leno? Was it Jay Leno?
It is not Jay Leno, no.
His
this
early
is a hard
days
one.
In stand-up. Is he? Does it go back long before Jay Leno?
Yes, it does, actually. I thought Arnie might get this because I remember
because his summers in Las Vegas.
This?
Yeah, I actually remember this.
Shecky Green.
No.
Not Johnny Carson.
Nope, it is not. He summed up his early days in stand-up. You haven't lived until you've died in California. Oh, this is a tough category this time.
No, it's not Rodney Dangerfield.
No. Anyone want to take a guess on the other side?
We're going to guess Mort Saul.
Mort Saul is exactly right.
Wow.
And I remember that vividly. Very good, Francine. Okay.
It's the kind of bitter, angry thing that Mort Saul would say.
That's the deal. Try this one, Francine, since you were so good at that. Born in England, he knew what he was talking about when he noted, everyone knows what a California smog is. It's fog with the vitamins removed.
Born in England.
Yep. He knew what he was talking about when he noted, everyone knows what a California smog is. It's fog with the vitamins removed.
Not Cary Grant.
No, it is not.
He was a comic.
He was. The other side does know this. They,
of course, it's the other
it's
side.
It's always the other side.
The other name of the game is the other side.
The other
knows
side knows. Yes, that's right.
A comic born in, and he remained English in tone.
No, I'm
pushing it.
He didn't have an English accent.
No, he sure didn't. Oops.
Oh, of course. Yeah, well.
I don't know if everybody in the radio audience heard that. Did you hear that?
Yeah, we heard it.
We heard it enough.
Yeah.
But we were just about to say it.
Well, say it for the radio
Bob
audience.
Hope.
Bob Hope. Bob Hope is right.
How do you handle that one, Richard?
I don't know how I'm going to handle that. We'll give them 3 points and 7 points for the audience. How's that? So they get 3 points for that. Try this one, Paula. He was not kidding when he said, We were ensconced as guests of an exclusive San Francisco hotel, an edifice so swank that the fire racks in the hall outside our suite said, in case of fire, break crystal.
Who would have said
he
that?
He was not kidding when he said,
not
we
kidding.
Were ensconced as guests of an exclusive
not
hotel.
Not kidding, is
this Jack Parr?
It is Jack Parr.
Yeah.
10 points. Very good, you got the clue.
I kid you not.
And finally, Barry, his particularly American take on the Golden State, and when she projects a new surprise, the grave world smiles as usual and says, well, that's California all over.
Particularly American.
American take on the Golden State, and when she projects a new surprise, the grave world smiles as usual and says, well, that's California all over.
This is a performer.
No, it is not.
It's a politician.
It is not.
Thank you.
Particularly American.
It was somebody who was a submarine captain.
Wow.
This was a writer?
It certainly was.
Yeah. Particularly American, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to get it.
Steinbeck?
I'm
going to go. John Steinbeck.
Not Steinbeck. I go to the other side.
I was thinking of Robert Frost.
It is not. Oh. Audience? Mark Twain.
Mark Twain, it is Mark Twain.
Said it in Roughing It. It's Mark Twain.
In Roughing It.
That's what it is.
Okay.
And the score this week, not indicative of how close the contest was, but 78 points and a victory for Miss Paula Lyons. Congratulations, winners this week. That is all we have time for today. Thanks so much to Joanne Wallace, Robin Smith, and all the folks at KQED-FM. And to the incomparable Lenore Naxon, Geese Graphics, Jordan Shapiro, and all the folks at the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. Sharon Salkin write the words, Antonio Oliart mans the meters, and Zach Moore is soon hard at work ending his senior year. Keith Heiberg of Brighton, Massachusetts, helps us close today with his report of a sign translated for English-speaking patrons in a Copenhagen airport. We take your bags and send them in all directions. It's a beautiful language, isn't it? So long from San Francisco, and we'll see you all next week. Support for Says You in San Francisco comes from the good folks at KQED-FM and the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins Hotel, historic elegance in the heart of San Francisco, on the web at intercontinental.com. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming this morning comes from WPLN listener members and from South Walton, Florida, presenting the 24th Arts Quest Fine Arts and Music Festival, May 10th through 13th. More information is available online at visitsouthwalton.com.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. The U.S. Conference of Bishops is calling on Catholics to protest government encroachment on religious freedom. But there are six Catholic Supreme Court judges. We'll ask an activist, why do you feel oppressed? Also, the story of a prisoner of war in Japan during World War II. Public Radio's daily digest of news and culture here and now.
Weekdays at noon.
In the coming week on Talk of the Nation, the difficult decisions families face with kids and grandparents in need of care. On Wednesday, political junkie Ken Rudin joins us, and on Thursday, a brutally honest look at military marriages after a decade of war. I'm Neil Conan. All that and much more in the week ahead on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 until 3.
Nashville weather for today, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms with mostly sunny skies and the high in the upper 80s. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1 a.m. with partly cloudy skies and the low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 1 o'clock tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies and the high in the mid-80s. Right now, it's 79 degrees in Nashville.